Our scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, and verses 6 through 10. And I would love to have you follow along as I read these marvelous verses. Romans, chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. And would you stand together as we read the scriptures? But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is, in order to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. May God bless this reading of his holy word to our understanding and to our obedience. Amen. Thank you all. I fled him down the night and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own heart. In the mist of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. Up vistaed hopes I sped and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmid fears from those feet that followed with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat more instant than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayest me. Unless I see the scars in his hands and put my finger there and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. The horror of the Christian universe was that it had no door marked exit. But of course, what mattered most of all was my deep-seated hatred of authority, my monstrous individualism, my lawlessness. No word in my vocabulary expressed deeper hatred than the word interference. But Christianity placed at the center what then seemed to me a transcendental interferer. If its picture were true, then no sort of treaty with reality could ever be possible. There was no region, even in the innermost depth of one's soul, nay, there least of all, which one could surround with a barbed wire fence and guard with a notice, no admittance. And that was what I wanted. Some area, however small, of which I could say to all other things, this is my business and mine only. But fear knew not how to evade as love knew to pursue. And with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy came on those following feet. And a voice beat above their feet, "Naught contents thee who contents not me." You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. At that, the man's face fell. For he had great possessions. Early in 1926, the hardest boiled of all the atheists I ever knew sat in my room on the other side of the fire and remarked that the evidence for the historicity of the Gospels was really surprisingly good. "Rum thing," he went on. "All that stuff of Fraser's about the dying God. Rum thing. Almost looks as if it had really happened once." To understand the shattering impact of it, you would need to know the man who has certainly never since shown any interest in Christianity. If he, the cynic of cynics, the toughest of the toughs, were not, as I would still have put it, safe, where could I turn? Was there no place safe? Nigh and nigh draws the beat. With unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, and above those noised feet, there was a voice even more fleet. "All things fail thee, who failest me." Look at my hands. Go ahead, put your finger here. Put your finger in my side. And stop being faithless and believe. My Lord and my God. Well, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are all those who have never seen and still believe. You must picture me alone in that room in Magdalen, night after night, feeling whatever my mind lifted, even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most reluctant and dejected convert in all England. I did not see then what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility who will accept a convert even on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home. But who can duly adore that love which will open the high gates to the prodigal who is brought in, kicking and struggling and resentful and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape? Halt by me. that footfall? Is my gloom, after all, shade of his hand stretched out caressingly? Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. Thou drovest love from thee, who drovest me. Don't say in your heart, who can ascend on high, that is to bring Christ down? Or who can ascend into the depths, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? For this is the word that's in your heart. It's the word we preach to you. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with the mouth that confession is made and you're saved. It is with the heart that you believe and are justified. If you believe or are prepared to believe, if you confess or are prepared to confess, then confess him, Jesus, as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and join yourself to this or another of the congregations of the elect in the earth, and take your stand with those who week by week and sometimes day by day acknowledge him and confess him and believe in him. Love bade me welcome, but my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance, and drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I said, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I? The unjust? Ungrateful? Ah, my love, I cannot look on thee. Taking me by the hand, he said to me in reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? Well then, my dear, I must serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did. Sit and eat. And now I come expecting Jesus to meet me in this place. I come expecting to receive mercy and grace. When I eat the bread and drink the wine, it will be a holy moment in time. I come expecting Jesus to meet me in this place. Before us the table is spread. Here awaits the wine. Here awaits the bread. Here, this passage of hope, the bread and the cup, here, where our souls are fed, I come expecting Jesus to meet me in this place. As we take the bread, remember the price that he paid and the beautiful gift that he gave, and receive the healing that he gives here where his love awaits. Do this in memory of Christ. Amen. You know the benediction we often use at communion services: Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ is coming again, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I'd like to use that today, but why don't we use it to say the benediction in unison? So let's stand together as we do that. Full-throated, wholehearted, and all together. Ready? Christ died. Christ has risen. Christ is coming again. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And may the Lord's peace rest upon you, a peace that is very different from the peace that the world gives. And before you leave, I hope you'll wish that peace upon the people around you. Amen.